1 John, and we're going to be looking at verse number 5 tonight. 1 John, I want us to begin with verse number 1 and read down through verse number 5. And let's all follow along, and you'll see, you know, this is a very, very important and great book. It's got some great things in it, and I want you to learn from it. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and with this, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. When I was a boy, I used to go to Bible camp in the summertime. I had a great time in Bible camp. Every year from, I think I was about 9 years old when I first went, and every summer I'd go for Bible camp. And during the time of Bible camp, one of the things we often did is we often would play a game called Treasure Hunt. And in the Treasure Hunt game, they would give us a clue, and the one clue that you'd get, you'd have to figure out the clue, and then it would lead you to the next place, and you go there, and you discover the next clue. And then you take that clue, and you try to figure it out, and then, oh, that leads you to the next place. And you do this again and again and again and again until you finally reach the treasure. And the contest was to see which team would get to the treasure first. And so they'd send us all over with clues that would take us different directions, but try to get to the treasure first. And it was a lot of fun to be able to find the clues that would lead us to the treasure. Well, there's a sense in which John here is treating this like a treasure hunt. And he's saying here that the treasure we're looking for is fellowship with God. That is the treasure, fellowship with God. And he gives us a clue, and the clue is his message. He says the message will tell you how to get to the treasure. The message will tell you how to get to God's treasure of fellowship with God. And so the information he gives us about the message is extremely important, and that's what we're going to look at here tonight. And he, first of all, identifies the message, and then he details the message. So I want us to, first of all, notice how he identifies it in verse 5. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. All right, so John says, this then is the message. The word message there literally means an announcement. And later on in the book, chapter 2 and verse 25, the same word is translated promise. In that passage it says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. So the message is a promise. The message is an announcement. It is a message for us to get. And John is about to tell us something about Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Word of God, the Word of life, the eternal life, whom he described in the first three verses. We saw that up in the first three verses. Remember verse 1 again, we just read it. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and that we looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. He said, I want you to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ and what he is like and what he has done. And so he's telling us about him. And he says, this is what I'm going to be talking about. Then he says, I want you to, that which we have heard. Not only is this then the message, but which we have heard. It is the message that John had heard from the lips of Jesus Christ. Jesus, as he walked and talked with the disciples for those 3.5 years, as Jesus mentored those disciples, and they were fellowshipping with him and walking with him. Can you imagine what that would have been like to go for walks with Jesus every day, hear him preaching to the multitudes, and watch him heal the sick and heal the lame and the blind, and to be able to see them in all the different things that they were doing and see God minister through Jesus Christ to those people. It would have been an awesome time. And John was saying here, we heard this. This is not secondhand information I'm giving you. He said, I'm giving you something. I was there. I saw it. I experienced this. This was real. And I want you to see it as real. And this is important. And he says, I want to declare this unto you. So he says, I'm announcing this to you. I'm declaring it to you. So he identifies the message. But then he spends the rest of the verse detailing the message. And John here, in this his message was simple, and yet it was profound, and it was a statement that gives us the information that will lead us to our treasure, fellowship with God. What did John say? He said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. God is light. He did not say God is a light. He did not say God is the light. He said God is light. And that's very important for us to grasp. And I'm going to do my best tonight to help you to understand what he meant when he said, God is light. You pray for me as I describe this so that you can understand this. When he said, God is light, God's very being and character is light. That is what God is alike. He is light. The word light there is a Greek word, phos, that simply means light. It's something that shines. It is light. And Robert Candlish made a very helpful description of what we know of as light. He says, light is diffusive. It is penetrating, searching, spreading itself over all space and entering into every hole and corner. It is quickening and enlivening, a minister of health and vigor and growth to all living creatures, plants, and animals alike, including man himself. It is pleasant also, a source of relief and gladness to those who bask in its bright and joyous rays. He's describing what we know of as light, or the sun, the beams that we see from the sun, the light. But you know, this also describes God himself. Albert Barnes made the application to spiritual things when he says, light in the scriptures is the emblem of purity, truth, knowledge, prosperity, and happiness. The phrase God is light depicts God's holiness, his sinless character. It depicts and radiates from his very person. God is light. You know, scientists say, well, we don't really understand what light is. We can't really define it. We can't really describe it. We know kind of what it does, but we don't know what causes light. It's because God is light. God is light. And he is the source of all light. And light is the opposite of all darkness. It's like the opposite ends of a magnet. If you take a magnet, I always used to like playing with magnets as a boy, and you take magnets and take the opposite ends and try to push them together, or the same ends and try to push them together, they just won't go. They hate each other. They won't go. They're opposites. And God is light, and he is absolutely opposite to what is darkness. Now that's a key thing. We got to grasp that because it's going to help us when he goes on to tell us what this is going to involve as far as reaching our treasure. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. We'll get into that in just a moment, but it's the opposite of darkness. Darkness pictures sin and evil. Light uncovers hidden darkness. It uncovers darkness. Then when light is present, darkness disappears. You cannot have light and darkness in the same location. They don't exist together. They are opposites. And so it is with God. God is absolute light, absolute purity, absolute righteousness. And wherever God is, there cannot be anything that is even the slightest bit darkness. God repels all darkness. We find in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3 that God is the source of light. Genesis 1:3 reads, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now that was before God created the sun and the moon and the stars. God said, let there be light. I have a theory about that. It might be wrong. But my theory is, God just turned on his shine and let himself lighten the earth. God was light. He lit up what he had created because of who he was. And then 3 days later, when he created the sun, moon, and stars, he created lights that would resemble what he can do and gave them the ability to shine like he can shine. That's only my theory about the God being the light there in the beginning, but it's a possibility. But God is the existence of light. He is the source of light. He started light. Remember in the children of Israel's wanderings, when they wandered through the wilderness, God gave them a pillar of fire that gave them light. And the scriptures tell us this. Notice carefully what it says in Exodus 13:21. It says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He said God was in the cloud and God was in the fire and God gave them light. It was God that was in that cloud. It was God that was there lighting up their path. It was God that overshadowed Israel and gave them the light so that they could travel. He was the one that was in that cloud. Then also remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai. And he spent those 40 days up on Mount Sinai with God. And he, while he was there, his face absorbed the light of God. So that when he came down from the mountain, the people said, Moses, cover your face. We can't look at you. You're shining, you're glowing, and you're hurting our eyes. And they put a veil over his face because his face had absorbed the brightness of God's light. God reflected himself in that. And we read there in Exodus 34, verse 29, and it came to pass that when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai and the people with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, and he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that his skin did of his face did shone while he talked with him. We find also that God, because God is light, he sees all that is in the dark. Psalm 139, verse 11, says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to me. God sees everything because he is light. He can shine through. One of the things that amazes me, and I've never figured it out, and maybe one day I'll figure it a little bit, but infrared lights. Where they, you know, when they can see things that you can't see, and there's no light, you can't see it, but yet you put on special glasses and they can see things. I always thought that would be kind of cool. Alright? But God sees everything like that. He is light. And everywhere he is, there is light, and he can see all, and he sees all the darkness that we have in our lives. You know, that's one thing that's a bit daunting when you think about it. There is not one single thing that you can hide from God, because God sees it all. Nothing you can hide from God. Not the least bit of a thought that you can hide from God. God knows our thoughts. He knows our words. He knows our heart. He knows our desires. He knows everything about us. God sees it all. Nothing can be hidden from God. David wrote in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, God's my light. He is my light. God is clothed with the purity of light. Psalm 104, verse 2, who covereth himself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. God says he covers himself with light. He is light. He is covered with light. James tells us, or actually, first of all, Daniel mentions that God pictures his light pictures knowledge. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 22 says he revealeth. Now Daniel's speaking here to the king, and he says God revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him, or with him. The light dwelleth with him. God is light. God sees it all. And Daniel was talking about things that were hidden from the eyes of man. Something that was impossible for man to know. He was revealing secrets in this dream to the king that was absolutely impossible for man to know. But God is light, and he reveals even things that are impossible for man to see, because God sees it all. God is light. James tells us that God is the father or origin of lights. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He never changes. He's always the same. Always the same. And God is light. He is always light. Christians also have been enlightened. And we're going to talk more about this next week. But Christians have been enlightened by the Lord to see the evils of sin. We read in Ephesians 5 and verse number 8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He said, you're light in the Lord. He has turned the light on your life. If you know Him as your Savior, He has lighted up your life so that you can be able to see Him and so that you would be able then to enter into His presence. That is a key to fellowship with God. You cannot possibly enter the fellowship with God at all if you have darkness in you, because you cannot come close to God with darkness, because God can't stand darkness, and darkness flees from God. God is absolute light. And God made it so that when we become a Christian, our hearts can be washed clean. And we can have light in our lives so that we can be clean before Him. And now, for the first time, we can enter into God's presence because of the light that is in us that He has placed there. God's done a wonderful thing for us. John used this same word, phos, light, in his gospel in 16 different verses. He used it more than I think anybody else in the New Testament. And I want us to just turn there, back up to the Gospel of John, and let's just work our way through there briefly. I'm not going to look at all 16 of them, but I want to point out a few of them for you to see. And we'll begin with chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and look at verse number 4. The Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse number 4. In Him, speaking of the Word, or Jesus Christ, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. It was the light of man. He came to give light to man. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The word comprehended means there that they rejected it. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness rejected it. Darkness said, we don't want you. And that's exactly what happened when Christ came to this earth. That He was the light of the world, shined in men's hearts. And He goes on in verse number 9 of the same chapter. That was the light, that was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. Now, whether He's put within every person a sense of His presence that they can turn to if they will, or whether it means that He's available to all people, everybody can come to Him and have light. I'm not sure which one of those it is, but He is light, and He's the light of man. He is the one that can lighten us. No one else can do that. We can't lighten ourselves. It only comes through Him. We find now in chapter 3, dealing with Nicodemus. Jesus had just spoken to Nicodemus, and now in verse number 19 of chapter 3, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. God's light came into the world through Jesus Christ, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They said, we don't want you near us. We feel bad when you're around us. And you know, that's one of the reasons, if you're living a life that is shining for Christ, unsaved people that are living wicked lives don't want to be around you, because you make them feel uncomfortable. But if you can be around unsaved people that are living wicked lives and they feel comfortable around you, you need to look in the mirror and make sure you're shining. Make sure your light is on. Because God tells us we need to be a light to the world. Remember what He said in Matthew? He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. And so God's light is in us if we know Christ as our Savior. Look at verse 20 of the same chapter 3. And it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. They said, we don't want to be near the light because it makes us feel guilty. We don't want to be around the light. So they didn't like Jesus Christ, the light of the world. That's why they killed Him and hung Him on the cross. Chapter 8 of John. Flip over a few pages. Chapter 8 and look at verse number 12. Chapter 8 and verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall walk, not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He says, if you follow Him. I think following Christ is very similar to walking in the light. It's very similar to abiding in Christ. It's very similar to walking in the Spirit. He says, you follow me, you stay close to me, and you will not walk in darkness. You need to stay close to Him, because we have the light of life in us, Jesus Christ. Chapter 9 and verse number 5. Just another page over. Chapter 9 and verse number 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Chapter 12 in verse 35. A couple more pages over. Chapter 12 of John, verse number 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. He said, I am the light. Come to me and you can have light. Leave me and you'll have darkness. And so he was urging them to come to him in the light. One last verse we'll look at in chapter 12, verse number 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You don't have to stay in darkness. If you abide in Christ, you stay close to Christ, you walk in the Spirit and you walk in the light and you stay near Him, you don't have to abide in darkness. In fact, if you're doing that, you can't abide in darkness. We've got to stay close to Him. He is the light that lightens our hearts. Now, John repeatedly described Jesus Christ as the light. Now, that's key. Now, flip back over to where we were in 1 John. And notice what he said. All through the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ was the light. Jesus said, I am the light. John the Baptist said, He is the light. They all pointed to Jesus Christ. And now what did we just read in our verse? The message? What was the message? God is light. What does that tell you? What does that tell us about Jesus Christ? It tells us that Jesus Christ is God. God is light. Jesus Christ was described all through John's Gospel as the light, the light, the light, the light. And now he says God is light. It's because Jesus Christ is God. We can't fully understand that, but Jesus Christ is God. He is God in human flesh when he was on the earth. And God is light. Now, what then is the central meaning of John's message, God is light? As we condense it all down, what did we learn? What did we find out? First of all, we learned that God is light. He is the source of light. He is light. You know, we can say that our sun is not light. The sun gives light. The stars give light, but they're not light. They just give light. God is light. God is light. And there would be no light without God. Somehow God is miraculously cause light, because He is light. So God is light. But also God is His very being is light. He wears light. He dwells in light. He radiates light. He gives light to believers. He is light, the source of it to all of us who come to know Him. As light, God is pure and holy and righteous. We must grasp this. It's hard for our sinful brains to figure this out. God knows nothing about sin. God has never sinned. God is light. And God's light exposes hidden sinful evils. Everywhere it shines, it exposes evil. Because God is light. But then John finishes the message with the second half. His message had two parts. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. In Him is no darkness at all. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness represents sin, corruption, falsehood, evil, and all unrighteousness. God possesses absolutely no darkness. If we were to translate this verse literally, it doesn't make good sense in English, but it literally says, darkness is not in Him, not any at all. There is absolutely no darkness in God. Every single one of us, and I wouldn't even have to ask, I could go right down the line, and every single one of us, I could say, you have sinned. And not one of us could honestly say, no, I haven't. Because we have all sinned. We have all done wrong. But no one can look at Jesus Christ and God and say, you have sinned. Remember Jesus said, who is there that accuseth me of sin? None could. He is light. He knows nothing about sin. He has never had a sinful thought. He has never had any sin come across his mind. He has never gotten angry in a sinful way. He has never had a bad thought. He's never said a bad word. He's never... He cannot tolerate sin at all. He's totally perfect. Now that's significant because when you start putting this together, it makes us feel like I have no hope of fellowship with God. I have no hope of fellowship with God. And in and of ourselves, that is absolutely true. We have no hope of fellowship with God. And that's what God's Word is trying to get across to us. The whole message of the Old Testament. Why did God give us the Old Testament law? He gave us the Old Testament law to point us out to the fact that we are sinners. We cannot live right. No matter how hard you try, you cannot keep God's law. You are guilty, and so am I. We have all broken God's law. And God is driving us to the place where we see that God is perfect. He is light. And in me is darkness. And in Him is nothing that is dark. He is absolutely opposed to darkness. You cannot tolerate darkness and sin in any way. Darkness results from being away from God's light. When God is present, darkness flees. When God is absent, darkness moves in. Just like those opposite ends of a magnet. God is not a little bit light and a little bit dark. God is absolutely light and no dark. And He's saying that darkness is absolutely dark and no light. You know, we live in a world that is relative in their thinking. Everybody says, well, you know, I think it's okay, and you don't like it, that's all right. But, you know, we all have our opinions, whether it's right or wrong. You know, if you want to live in sin, you know, don't call it sin. I don't like that word. That's it. You call it whatever you want. And we, you know, I don't think it's sin. You think it's sin. Well, who cares, you know. And they just live in a... But God says, no, I am light. And if it's not perfect, if it's not holy, if it's not righteous, it is darkness. He didn't say, well, it's kind of in the twilight. There is no twilight with God. There is no dimness with God. There is no gray with God. It's either black or it's white. That means every single thought that goes through my mind, every single deed that goes through my body, every single thing I do is either in the light or it's in the dark. There is no in between. So if we're going to walk in the light with Him, what does that mean? We've got to be clean. We've got to be clean. And that seems so hopeless. Until you read verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so there's hope to come. In the next few weeks, if we dig into this, we're going to see that there is hope. But the thing we see right here is that God says that darkness separates us from Him. Darkness. What is darkness? You know, the pride. You know, you think about our own lives. Pride. It steals God's glory. And God tells us in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, that He hates pride. We read that foolishness is darkness. Proverbs 24:9. We read in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, that all that is without faith is sin. What did God mean if it's without faith is sin? What that means is if you choose to do something, and you say, well, you know, somebody invites you to do something, and you think in your mind, that's one of those borderline things, I don't know. And you think in your heart, and you say, well, I'm not sure, I don't think God would really like this, but I'll do it anyway. You have sinned against God, because God said if you didn't do it in faith, believing that you were doing the right thing, you sinned against Him. Even if it wasn't necessarily evil, but in your heart you thought it might be evil. God says, don't do it, because the very act of choosing to do what you thought might be wrong was sinful, because you chose to do what you thought might be wrong. God says, don't do that. That's sinful. James said in James 4:17, for he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know to do good and you don't do it, that is sin. That means if you know to do good in any way, you know that it's important to read your Bible, but you don't do it. God said, that's sin. If you know it's important to tithe and you don't do it, that's sin. If you know that it's important to be a witness, and if I know that to be a witness, and I don't do it, and God says, go talk to them, and I don't do it, that is sin. God says, we know to do good and we don't, it's sin. Now, why am I emphasizing all this? I'm helping us to understand that all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. And our next verse that I want you to meditate on this next week, I want you to meditate on verse 6. Meditate a lot on it. It'll take you the whole week to meditate on this verse. Notice what verse 6 says. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we walk in fellowship with God, but we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We'll talk about that next week. Meditate on that. Think about it. Ask yourself questions. What does it mean to walk in darkness? What does it mean to fellowship with God? What does this mean? How, and you ask yourself those questions over and over, and you pray about it, and you talk to God about it, and ask Him to explain it to you, and you look up verses, and you study this, and you look up verses in the Bible that talk about darkness, you look up verses in the Bible that talk about fellowship, and look up verses that talk about truth, and all these things. Meditate on it. Let it absorb in your heart. And then next week when we talk about it, it'll come alive. But God wants us to fellowship with Him. That was His desire. That's why John is writing. He said, I told you about Christ and the gospel. Now I want to tell you how to stay in fellowship with Him. And so the whole book is about that theme. This is the treasure that we're after. To fellowship with God. To have that communion with God. That sweet intimacy with God. And it is available to all who know Christ. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm sorry, it is not yours. But if you do know Jesus as your Savior, it is for you. God wants you to fellowship with Him, but only on His terms. And His terms is God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. We cannot come near Him if there's darkness in our life at all. And so, I challenge you with these thoughts tonight. Think about what we've looked at. We've discovered the key, the message, the clue that leads us to this. He said, God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. That is the key to the whole book of 1 John. And He's going to spend the rest of the book telling us how that works. And how we can have fellowship with that God that is light. And how we can stay in fellowship with that God that is light. And He's going to tell us what will hinder our fellowship with God that is light. And He wants us to be able to enjoy that. And so, I've emphasized this the best way I can say. The best way I know how. Because if you don't get this, the rest of the book isn't going to make sense. The rest of the book, you'll think you're doing fine and you're not. Because God says, I am light. And in Him is no darkness at all.